Okay, so have you ever heard of a country where chilies aren't just like a condiment? You know, like they're just part of the way of life. We're diving into the heart of the Himalayas for this deep dive into Bhutanese cuisine
Okay.
to explore just that,
Yeah.
starting with their national dish,
Okay.
Imadachi.
That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Imadachi is practically synonymous with Bhutan.
Right.
It's funny because when you think about it, it's such a simple dish, but it's so satisfying.
Okay.
And you find it everywhere, like families are eating it in their homes and even monks in monasteries.
That's what's got me intrigued. I've
Yeah.
got like this whole stack of articles and recipes that you sent me.
Right?
And honestly, just even skimming through them,
Yeah.
the thing that jumps out is the simplicity. It's chilies, it's cheese, there's a few other ingredients in there.
Yeah.
What is like the secret sauce here?
You're right. The ingredient list for Imadachi,
Yeah.
like you said, it's pretty short and sweet.
Right.
But each component, each thing on that list kind of tells a story.
Okay.
And I think a good place to start is with those chilies.
Okay.
You see, in Bhutan, they're not afraid of a little heat.
Right.
They use a variety of different chilies, green, red, even white chilies,
Wow.
fresh or dried. And it just adds this really unique depth of flavor and spice.
And speaking of unique,
Yeah.
there's the dachi part of imadachi,
Yes.
which is the cheese, right?
Right.
And one of my sources was describing it as like having this sharp,
Yeah.
almost blue cheese-like quality.
Absolutely. Dachi is often made traditionally from yak or cow's milk, and it's really a cornerstone of Bhutanese cuisine.
Wow.
And the process of making it is fascinating in itself.
Yeah.
They separate the curds from the whey,
Okay.
and the resulting cheese, it just has this incredible depth of flavor. It's almost
Oh.
like a sharper, tannier version of feta.
That's interesting because I've got this other recipe here
Okay.
where they're describing imadachi as being Bhutan's answer to nachos.
There you go.
Okay.
Bringing those taste buds a little closer to home.
Right.
Do you know what?
It.
There's actually a lot of truth to that
Okay.
because imadachi is traditionally eaten by hand.
Really?
Yeah, and it often makes up a whole meal
Wow.
just in itself. And it just speaks to the resourcefulness of Bhutanese cuisine,
Right.
where you can take these simple, hearty ingredients
Yeah.
and create something that's just deeply satisfying and flavorful.
And this idea of resourcefulness,
Yeah.
you wouldn't believe the imadachi
I
variations.
know. It's amazing, isn't it?
We're talking potatoes, mushrooms.
Yes.
They even have meat versions of it.
They do. They do.
It's like they said, okay, we have this amazing base. Let's
Yeah.
just get creative with it.
Exactly. That dachi concept is so adaptable.
Yeah.
Like you said,
Yeah.
take kiwadachi, for example,
Okay.
where potatoes are added to the mix,
Yep.
or shamudachi,
Okay.
which features mushrooms.
Right.
And you're right, they even have meat-based versions like shakamdachi with beef or sikkimdachi with pork.
Wow.
And it just shows you how those readily available ingredients
Yeah.
can influence the cuisine.
And speaking of ingredients,
Yeah.
one recipe that I was looking at actually incorporated buckwheat noodle. Okay.
Into the imadachi itself,
Interesting.
which, side note,
Yeah.
sounds kind of delicious.
Yeah.
But it also reminded me that another one of these sources dives into a
Yeah.
whole other traditional Bhutanese dish
Okay.
that features buckwheat,
Oh, cool.
which is this noodle soup called bathup.
It seems that buckwheat really holds a prominent place in their cuisine,
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
for sure.
And that's perhaps a good segue into exploring some of these
Okay.
other fascinating facets of Bhutanese food
Right.
beyond imadachi, because it's definitely not a one-hit wonder.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I always thought of Bhutanese food as being like all about imadachi.
Right.
But just glancing through these articles, it's clear there's like a whole symphony of flavors waiting to be explored. Absolutely. Imadachi might be the rock star,
Right.
but you've got this whole incredible supporting cast of dishes
Right.
that are just as intriguing. And they all reflect something really unique
Okay.
about Bhutanese culture and the influences that have shaped it.
Like what? Give me like a for instance.
Well, take momos, for example.
Okay.
These little dumplings,
Yeah.
they're found throughout the Himalayas. They're incredibly popular in Bhutan, too.
Okay.
But here's the thing about them. They're not just like a tasty snack.
Right.
They're really a testament to that cultural exchange
Yeah.
that shaped Bhutanese cuisine.
Okay.
So you find them filled with all sorts of things, from the traditional yak cheese
Okay.
to influences from neighboring Tibet and India.
So it's like a culinary melting pot.
Yeah.
But seasoned with that dash of Bhutanese spice.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then you've got red rice.
Okay.
Which I know your research highlighted as a staple.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't your average rice.
Right.
It's grown at high altitudes. And it's got this wonderful nutty flavor.
Okay.
And a slightly chewier texture.
Okay.
Than white rice.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's packed with nutrients.
Makes sense. I mean, if you're living life on the slopes of the Himalayas.
Exactly.
You need food that's going to fuel those mountain tracks.
Exactly. And speaking of fueling up.
Right.
In a mountainous climate.
Yeah.
We can't forget about suja.
Okay.
The Bhutanese butter tea.
Right.
Your sources described it as being more of like a savory soup.
Yes.
Than a sweet tea.
Right. Yeah. One of them even compared it to like a warm hug on a chilly day.
I love that.
Have you ever tried it?
I have not tried it.
Okay.
But I understand that it's traditionally made with yak butter and salt.
Okay.
Which I'll admit might sound a little strong to some.
Right.
But then when you think about it, the climate in Bhutan is chilly.
Right.
It starts to make sense. Oh. It's warming. It's nourishing.
Yeah.
Perfect for those crisp mountain mornings.
You know, it's fascinating how all of these dishes,
the
momos, the red rice, the butter tea, they all like tell a story about Bhutan from its geography to its cultural influences.
It's true.
And speaking of influences, one thing that really struck me going through all of this is how Bhutan seems to blend its own culinary traditions with those of its neighbors, particularly China, Tibet, and India.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Right, right.
Bhutan sits at this incredible crossroads geographically and culturally.
Right.
And the cuisine is a direct reflection of that.
Right.
So you see these threads of Tibetan and Chinese influence in their use of things like yak butter and dumplings.
Right.
While Indian spices have undeniably left their mark.
Totally. It makes you wonder about the historical interactions.
It does, doesn't it?
The trade routes, the mingling of culinary secrets over centuries.
Absolutely. And for anyone who is lucky enough to actually experience Bhutanese food firsthand, these articles that you've got really offer such an interesting glimpse into what it's like to actually dine out in Bhutan.
Oh, right. There's a whole section here about dining in Thimphu, which for those who don't know is Bhutan's capital city.
And what I find so fascinating is that while Bhutanese cuisine is known for these bold flavors, particularly their love of chilies, the restaurants are incredibly accommodating to visitors.
One of the travel blogs specifically mentioned that chefs will often adjust the spice level.
They do.
For those who aren't accustomed to the heat.
Which I think speaks volumes about their hospitality.
Right.
They want you to enjoy the flavors of their country without feeling completely overwhelmed.
Right. And it's not just the spice levels that they're adaptable with. Right. Like, the variety of cuisine available in a place like Thimphu is pretty impressive.
It is. It really is.
You've got everything from traditional Bhutanese eateries to cafes serving up international fare.
It's true.
It's like they've got something for everyone.
Speaking of cafes.
Yeah.
I noticed that your source highlighted a couple of spots.
Okay.
That sound particularly inviting.
Okay.
Ambiance Cafe and Art Cafe in Thimphu.
Yeah, they sound like the perfect spots to just like relax.
I know.
Soak in that local scene.
Yeah.
And maybe even like try some of that butter tea we were talking
about. Exactly. And for those looking for a taste of Bhutanese nightlife.
Okay.
After their delicious meal.
Yeah.
Mojo Park. Got a special shout out.
It did, didn't it? It sounds like, from what they were describing, a really popular spot for locals and tourists alike.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Thimphu being the capital probably has quite a buzzing nightlife.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of exploring different aspects of Bhutanese culture, we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on a topic that often comes up when discussing food.
Right.
Vegetarianism and veganism. It's true. Those are important considerations.
Yeah.
Especially for those who have dietary restrictions.
Right.
So what's the Bhutanese food scene like for vegetarians and vegans?
That's a great question. So you see, Buddhism actually plays a significant role in Bhutanese culture.
Okay.
And with that comes a really strong emphasis on vegetarianism.
Okay.
So you'll find that there are plenty of options.
Yeah.
Even in a lot of the more traditional dishes.
That makes sense. I did notice a lot of vegetable-centric dishes in the recipes that you sent.
Absolutely.
But what about those who follow like a strict vegan diet?
You know,
with all that delicious-sounding dachi cheese.
Right.
and the yak butter.
Yeah.
It seems like it might be a little trickier.
Yeah.
To navigate.
You're right. You're right. Dairy is pretty prevalent in Bhutanese cuisine.
Okay.
So while being vegetarian is relatively easy,
right,
being vegan might require a little more pre-planning,
okay,
and communication.
Like maybe asking some extra questions at restaurants.
Exactly.
Or looking for cafes or restaurants,
right,
that cater specifically to vegan diets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even if those options aren't readily available,
right,
I would say don't be afraid to chat with the locals.
Right.
Explain your dietary needs.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be more than happy to help you,
yeah,
find something that's delicious and satisfying.
That's great advice. And again, it kind of speaks to that sense of hospitality.
It does.
That seems to be woven into Bhutanese culture.
It really does. You know, it's been fascinating.
Yes.
Diving into all of this with you.
Yeah.
It's amazing how food can just be,
right,
such a powerful lens through which to explore a culture.
It truly is. We've journeyed to the heart of the Himalayas.
We have.
Explored the nuances of Imadachi.
Yes.
Delved into this world of Bhutanese flavor.
All those amazing flavors.
And even uncovered, I think, some practical tips.
Yeah.
For listeners who might be dreaming of experiencing it,
yeah,
all firsthand.
And for those who want to go beyond just dreaming.
Right.
Remember that food is always buffed and enjoyed when it's understood.
Okay.
So as you savor those flavors,
yeah,
whether it's just a simple bowl of Imadachi,
right,
or a steaming cup of suja,
yes,
take a moment to appreciate the people, the land, the traditions,
right,
that make Bhutan so unique.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And for an extra layer of understanding,
okay,
maybe even do a little digging into,
yeah,
this whole concept of gross national happiness.
I love that.
It's a philosophy that Bhutan famously prioritizes.
It's beautiful.
And it makes you wonder, like, does their approach to food,
right,
with its emphasis on these fresh local ingredients,
yeah,
resourcefulness,
yeah,
these bold, vibrant flavors,
I...
does it offer any clues,
yeah,
about this very unique approach to well-being?
That's something to chew on, isn't it?
It is. That's something to chew on.
Of it.
Until next time.
Yes.
Happy exploring.